iPad on his computer. Okay, so welcome back to the Nudge Business Broadcast. It's Rob Nugent here, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Latif Badat of ALB Business and Confidence Coaching. Latif has become a contact of mine during lockdown, and we're just going to have a quick discussion about what he does in his business, how he's growing it, and obviously how he's handled the last few months when the world's been turned upside down. So, hi Latif, how are things going?
Hi Rob, yeah, really good, thanks. Nice good. To see you again, and thanks for having us on here.
Yeah, no problem, mate, no problem. I think it's just great to open up, and I always like to go back to how I've met with people. So the big message I want to pass from this is that, you know, we do a lot of networking. I've always been in small business for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But that we know each other. You hear that thunderstorm outside my house? We've met through a connection I met over a decade ago at a breakfast networking event.
Yeah.
I subbed for my dad in the car leasing business one hungover Friday morning, met a bloke, we got on. With Chris Boothman, who you know.
Yes, yes.
He's now a self-employed insurance broker. I weirdly connected with him on Facebook, which is a bit unusual then, because Facebook was very much just your close circle. But
yeah.
And over time, we've grown into have families. We both got into the same sort of fitness stuff with CrossFit. We end up having a couple of coffees. He introduces me to the Shout Network, which you are heavily involved in, and I want you to speak about that in a minute.
Yeah.
And then you start contributing on some of the Zoom calls that I host on the little networking event I do. And I think it's just, you know, if any of the listeners do go back to the people I'm talking to, there is a history with everybody on here, not just people I've randomly picked out to have a chat to. If there's one big lesson from all of the networking, is just to stay in touch with as many people as possible, because you never know where you end up.
Great advice.
So Latif, tell us a little bit about ALB Business and Confidence Coaching.
So it started maybe 13, 14 years ago, and I had a bit of break in between when we found out we were expecting our first child, so I parked it up. So in them days, I was a life coach, and then I morphed into a motivational coach, and then a confidence coach, and now I'm a business and confidence coach. So 3 kids later, around about 2015, I decided to resurrect it. I was working as a business advisor, mentor, coach for the University of Central Lancashire's Business Incubation Programme, which was a double award-winning programme. And also it was number one in the UK for the highest amount of graduate startups still trading after 3 years at 77%. So I picked up a lot of tools, techniques, and as well as a lot of experience and knowledge just working with various businesses who were either pre-start, new start, all the way up to 3 years if it was a funded program, and then past that if it wasn't a funded program. And then 2015, I left the university. So 2015, I did some test trading again, made some contacts, and I was just using my own social media. People were saying, oh, I didn't know you did all this. I said, yeah, I did. I just didn't promote it because I was really happy doing what I was doing 3 days a week initially for the university. And at 2017, I left that to just start up on my own. So what I specialize is in helping creative digital media and technology businesses transform the mindset of the owners, and also the teams. And I do that predominantly through one-to-one coaching around using things like neuro-linguistic programming, different types of coaching, and all the experience I've picked up supporting all the businesses along the way. I still use a very heavily kind of based coaching model, which is asking a lot of questions rather than giving lots of advice and those sorts of things. Kind of areas I cover is in two strands. One is on the bricks and mortar, so that's your business strategy, operations, where you want to go, how you want to grow the business, cash flow, finance, you know, project management, all those sorts of things. And mixed in with that is the people element to it. So it's much more the softer skills. So for example, confidence and resilience, dealing with imposter syndrome, internal career progression, leadership for business owners, but also leadership for people that are being promoted within. And we've got things like looking after your health and well-being, mindset, mood, and you know, mental health, all those sorts of areas come into it as well. And then also anybody starting a business, also support them as well. So it's quite varied in terms of the work I do, but it's very much for organizations that have got at least 5 to 10 staff upwards, looking at either senior management team or the business owner themselves, or sometimes the business owner will bring me in to work with a particular group of people or a select group of people to work with in terms of the areas I've mentioned.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't realize you'd gone back that far with it. I knew you'd done the life coaching, so I didn't realize that you'd done it for 15 years or so. So that's mega. If anybody is listening to this in the future, there's a massive thunderstorm going on at my house. So I hope the sound isn't too badly affected. Right, Latif, I'm going to ask you a question now, because in lockdown, I've done a bit of like the odd coaching certificate. I'm doing a CrossFit level one certificate in a couple of weeks, just to get a more rounded view of the sort of health space and I've been able to add a bit of value to my network rather as a full-on thing that I'm going to be taking forward, I think, at the moment. Yeah. But because I've done that, my cookies are obviously on site. So I'm getting loads of adverts of how to grow your coaching business, go from zero to 100,000 in like 10 minutes and all that kind of stuff. Now, you're in that space and have been for 15 years, right? Yeah. You have possibly one of the busiest diaries I've ever seen. And I know that you are organically generating all this work, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how have you managed to get so busy with what you do? I mean, you're not allowed to say, because I'm good at it. Like, there's obviously some method in the madness.
It's taken a long time, to be honest with you. I think fundamentally, the key thing for me has been reputation, my reputation. Mm-hmm. So when I was at UCLan, the University of Central Lancashire in Preston, I wasn't on any social media channels at all. And it was only, I don't know, 4 or 5 years in, we had a project funded for 3 years specifically aimed at digital, creative and media businesses. Well, if you're running a project like that, people working on the program need to do a little bit on social media, right?
Yeah.
So I was very, very fortunate. I had a very, very good mentor who was in his own right. He was doing his own thing. He was a business advisor. He was brought in to support the businesses. But he used to sit literally 3-4 feet to the right of me. And I was saying, I used to host a networking event myself, second Tuesday of every month with the team. And I'd be looking after the speakers, who we got in and the structure and everything. And this guy called Neil Simpson, you know, check him out online, Neil Simpson. I said to him, well, we've got a Twitter wall in there. And I feel I'm missing out on the engagement. Everybody's tweeting away and nobody is tweeting from that account over the lights. He went, well, it's simple. You know, we'll do this, we'll do that. So anyway, he got me started on that first and he taught me live. So for example, if I was tweeting things out beforehand, if I was doing anything, if I was structuring things, he showed me a system that this is how you would do it without it taking over your life, first of all. Second thing is, this is what it's got to be about in terms of value. No point just being there for the sake of it. So I learned probably really, really good tips from the beginning. So it was difficult to make mistakes. I still made loads, but it was difficult to make big errors later on. And then we decided to start a Facebook group from scratch. So again, he guided me through that. So to the point when we're having the networking events, I also set up my own Twitter. So he literally stood behind me and said, can you see what it says there? Username. Think of a username. When it says password, think of a password. It was literally idiot's guide to doing it. And I did it. And then having him just there, I'd be posting or tweeting or whatever. So every now and again, he says, Steve, you see what you've just done there, da, da, da. So, you know, next time, and he does coaching as well. You know, he's a coach in his own right. So he was able to use the power of coaching on me. So it never made me feel like, oh, you know, he's having a go again. Nothing like that. It was very empowering. That's how I learned over time, to the point when in 2015, the contracts had finished. I think people had moved on, but they returned the core team, which I was part of. We were nominated for the best social media presence 2 years in a row at the Lancashire Business Awards. We won, I think it was 2015 or 14, we won the best business enabler, because that's the one we really wanted to win, because that's what we did. But to be put in the category with digital marketing agency was a bit weird, really, because we thought, we're just one little thing, you know, we're not a digital marketing agency, we don't charge people. But 2 years on the road, and a lot of that was down to the work Neil did, a lady called Jane Pearson, a young lady called Lauren, who's Manchester based. And all of us had this drive of making our social media something that you feel you want to engage with, something that you feel proud of in terms of the brand name that we had. for that project, which we called the MORE program. I learned along the way, and equally through that 3-year period, because we had European money, we were able to bring in experts in digital marketing, social media marketing, creative industries to do full day sessions, half day sessions, guest talks. So I used to sit in all these sessions and do all the social media on behalf of our little project. So I was taking it all in. So I've not done any formal training like I've had to pay to go on a course. I've had them, in a way, I've been very fortunate. They've come to me because of that program. So through that time, more and more people were getting to recognize my name, and then I was learning all the things. So if I was in a workshop with you for 3 hours today, and it was basically how you would use your LinkedIn for either an employee basis or a business basis, I would try it out. If not that evening, the next day, a little bit at a time, manageable, keep building on it. If I needed to, I'll come back to you. And I'd, you know, the next person would come 6 months' time and they would do another angle with LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever. So over them years, the name became synonymous. Plus, I like a good selfie. I was completely shy before I went on, and then I went completely addictive to taking selfies. So before lockdown, I was going to loads and loads of events, mainly networking. That's where the networking ninja or the ninja comes from, and just snapping away. So again, what that did was this aspect of social proofing was, okay, I've seen this guy online. He seems, you know, da-di-da-di-da, he seems all right. But now I've met him in person, or somebody will turn around at an event anywhere within the Northwest, generally at the beginning, and say, oh, I know him, he's a really good guy. So the social proofing started to ripple out. And then me and a friend called Brian Morrison were heavily into personal development or self-improvement. And we started going to events, not just in the Northwest, but in the Midlands and London. So a lot of the people knew each other in that community. So each time we'd turn up, we'd be connecting with them on Facebook and Instagram, and you name it, on Twitter. So the thing spread. So it's taken a long time. I haven't got a magic wand to wave with anybody. Yes, there's lots of information to make it easier, which is something me and my business partner do called Jeff Molyneux. We run workshops around getting the most out of LinkedIn, generating more leads. That's session number one. And session number two is using the power of video to generate more leads. So we're running them in June and July. But yeah, I've just stayed consistent. At the end of 2019, I made myself a commitment, because I hit myself up the backside and I thought, right, 2018, I reviewed lots of things, but one of them was social media, and I thought, I'm a bit hit and miss. So around about October, November, that's when I reviewed it. I thought, right, I'm starting to put content together now for January 2019. I only missed 3 days that year. I can't remember why, but 3 days. Every day I put a post out, every single day, not for the sake of it. It was either based on what was happening in the economy locally to do with business coaching or helping people. It was to do with things I'd picked up with working with clients, things I'd picked up with speaking to business owners at events. So everything was like kind of the here and now. And then once I started working with more and more clients, they naturally just referred me to their other colleagues within the business, or other people they knew from other businesses. So generally what happens is I've worked out that my organic sort of reach in terms of getting clients always seems to be somebody who I've been connected with for at least 15 months, at least, right? So it doesn't mean it doesn't take that long to get them, but over time, they've known me for at least a year to 15 months. Mm-hmm. And then they send me a message on LinkedIn saying, I've seen your stuff, da-di-da-di-da. And then, you know, I just take the conversation off LinkedIn through a telephone call. 99.9% of the time I have that call, I close them. That's not because I'm the number one sales call closing expert. It's just because they believe in the value I'm providing them. They appreciate the value. And the third most important one is they have got the investment for it as well.
And when that inquiry came through, are we thinking that that's because they're pretty much ready to buy, aren't they? They're coming to you and saying, right, I like what you've got. I need this problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as you're not, you know, £1 million, I'm sure that, you know, they've in their head developed a budget to cover paying something towards it, and they're not getting five other quotes.
Yeah. I think what's happened is, because I was a serial network, I mean, proper full on, you know what I mean? Proper full on. I'd never go anywhere where I'd need to stay the weekend over, or I'd never go out and stay the night over. I'd like to always get back home and make sure, you know, I'm spending some time with the kids before I go to sleep, reading stories and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, I was all over the shop. Mornings, afternoons, late afternoons and early evenings, I'd definitely get on them. They're not every day, but in a particular week, I could be on three sessions, sometimes more. And it's just getting out, making that impression, just being yourself, genuinely wanting to help somebody. And I think that has been the trust element of people then, because people talk with people, people's networks, believe it or not, can be big, but then equally they can be small in terms of when we say it's a small world, who knows who. And that has really worked for me, because that bit when I was really hammering it for all them years, networking, even when I used to work for the university and it was things I wanted to go to, sometimes I would take half a day off and go to it in my own time. Sometimes I would take a day off, certain training or whatever, I would invest in it in myself. So I did a lot of sacrifices and a lot of investment. So I mean, university paid for loads and loads of stuff as well, to be fair to them, external courses, internal courses. You can imagine big organization like that, they get the cream of the crop coming in, and the staff members, it's on the intranet, you put your name down, you can get in. There's no real kind of, well, why do you want to do this course? unless it's mechanical engineering related or something. But generally, a lot of stuff we had were from consultants who, would charge a day rate privately. So we had them for free. So I absorbed all that. But more than that, I think what I was able to do is sit down, put it in bite-sized chunks and do something with it. No point me going on, say, understanding people's behavior, for example, and how you can influence people to make decisions, and if it's a sales-related stuff or a psychology-related stuff, and not use it. I was constantly using it. And I think, to my testament, I remember a chap that came on who does sales for a living, and he said, "Oh, Steve, you're closing me now." And another chap that said he charges $2,000 for like a half a day. And not only did I get him down once for the university at no cost, I got him down three times. The second and third time, we just gave him a room with a Wi-Fi and he could do a webinar. And I think I didn't even buy him lunch. I said, "Do you want me to buy you lunch? I'll take you out for lunch and then you can carry on working." He said, "No, I'm all right. I've got this punnet of grapes or something." And then we got a buffet later, haven't we? I said, "Yeah, the buffet is free. You can, you can take some home if you want. There's that much buffet." But yeah, I managed to do that as well.
So you paid him in sausage rolls and vol-au-vents.
We did, and cream cakes. It was the most luxurious buffet available. Price per head. It was really, really good. It brought people in. I think it originally used to cost something like £500 a month just for the buffet.
Right.
Yeah, internally, you could only buy internally. You couldn't go externally unless you needed a very good reason.
So before I ask you a question about life balance, which is a thing of mine, I'm going to just rewind back to the social media stuff, because I know that it's I'm sporadic, and then I know most people are. Let's be fair, but I've picked up, we're connected on Facebook as well as LinkedIn, aren't we? I don't use Twitter as much, so I can't really go into I've not been watching you on Twitter, but you come across really well on both of them.
Thanks.
How do you break up that Facebook? And for me, internally, is I've got Facebook for everyone and LinkedIn for business, even though my LinkedIn connections are five times bigger than my Facebook connections. So when you're posting on Facebook, have you got a separate account, or are you just kind of just get on with it and you're not posting anything salesy, are you? You're not saying like, "Here's a course for £500. You are providing information and links to events and stuff like that. Yeah. So how does that work for you?
I've got a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So something goes out on that every day, and sometimes I'll reshare some of that onto my personal profile. But I'm doing a talk on tomorrow for an organization called Hashtag Events, and the theme of it is F.K.
Right.
FOMO, right? And it's like strategies to deal with dealing with social, get ruthless with your social media to improve your mental health. That's what it's called. Right. And one of the things I've learned over time is for me to control it as opposed to it control me. So we was always told how important it is as a business owner, particularly. I used to give talks around it back in the day. It's something I'll go through with clients. But at the same time, whether you've got kids or not, if it's just you, if it's just you and your partner, you and your wife, your girlfriend, husband, whatever, I think it's fundamentally important who has control over what. Now, there's a lot of information that's available. There's a lot of marketers, digital marketers, that will, you know, will talk in a certain way about, for example, good practice. Let's just call it good practice. So if I've put out a post on Facebook, then generally I don't want to be replying to people 4 days later. So there needs to be a healthy balance between me, first and foremost, as the person of what I've posted at what time and what is a realistic time frame for me to then look back at that post. Because the other option is I post something out at, say, 10 a.m. in the morning, hypothetically, or 8 p.m. at night, and it says, great day fishing today with Rob Nugent, you know, always good to catch up, da-di-da-di-da. Now, shall I sit next to my phone when I've got other things doing? Even if that's watching, not everybody will like this, but even if it's me, the wife, and the kids watching Coronation Street, that's our time. So shall I have my phone next to me, whether it's on silent, going buzz? And if it's buzzing, shall I then start replying to, you know, whoever comes on and go, yeah, you know, me and Rob went last year. So I get, what I'm doing there is I'm not really there. I'm not really here. Mm. And to do with mental health, there's something called being in the moment, focusing on the present, mindfulness, meditation, which is all about trying to get you with breathing and lots of other things in here and now. So I know it sounds really weird, but it's about sometimes trying to do as much as you can at one thing at a time. Now, if that post at 8 p.m., I know I'm going to have loads of people commenting because I've worked out that my social network, not the business one, but the social one, are all going to be logging on between 8 and 9:30 and it's going to be heaving, then maybe it's not the best time for me to post.
Because you'll keep distracting yourself back to it.
Well, yeah, that's the temptation. But the second thing is that this whole fear of FOMO is that if six other people jump on that conversation, I posted it, but all you lot are having a really good banter and I miss that banter and I don't check it then till 10:30 at night, which is not advisable. But just imagine I do. You've all gone. I'm lost. So some people want to feel they've posted, they're interacted there and then in that time frame for as long as it goes on. It could go on for hours. You know, now if it does, more people might be brought into that, what have I missed, and then it starts all over again, and before you know it, 2-3 hours have gone and you're not focusing what you should be doing. So it's a bit of a challenge, and I think each person needs to look at what they post, when they post, who's likely to comment on it, and in what format. So is there a question at the end of your post, or is it just something social? Some people find they can handle both. They can watch Corrie the one eye and look at the phone with one eye and, you know, chuckle to themselves. And the missus will go, what are you laughing at? Kids will go, what are you laughing at? I don't know. That's just a personal thing for me. What I tend to do, if it was an evening thing, generally I don't really post anything in the evening anyway. And my phone, I'm sat in a small box room upstairs in the house. My phone stays upstairs and I'm downstairs. And if I do nip upstairs to go to the loo or something, I might just nip in to this small room. And I'm only looking for certain things. For example, a missed call from one of my clients who I've said, contact me anytime. I'm not checking my email because there should be nothing in my email that prompts me to do something there and then. I'm not an engineer. So it's not like your machinery is broken down that I've installed and tomorrow so many garments are not going to get made. So many products are not going to get made and the machine's stuck and I need to either get out myself or call one of the engineers. I'm not in that line of work. So little by little, you need to wean yourself off, not the whole thing completely, but when you interact with it. Similarly, during the day, if I post something on LinkedIn earlier in the morning, I've left a little bit of time of when I do the comments. So, for example, when I'm doing the school run, I know if I post at a certain time, I'm not going to get to see the comments till about 9:25. There's no point me then having a meeting at 9:30 because it gives me like 8 minutes sometimes because I'm frantically and it goes back and forth. So I need to think about all those things before I post. Now, some of the digital marketers will probably have a different opinion. I'm looking at it more in terms of managing it in a way that's suitable for your overall longevity for mental health and well-being. So you know what I do? Criticism.
I've become I've one of them where I've decided not to bother drinking anymore, even though I wasn't like a wake up and have a bottle of vodka in the morning. I'm currently having a kind of a tussle with sugar, and I'm not far off going this social media thing. Not in fact, it's not social media, it's my phone. It's just having that on me. And sometimes you'll be sat, like you say, you'll be sat with your kids in the living room, phone in one hand.
And you
need to do something with two hands, but you won't do it because you've got your phone in your hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you doing, Rob? Just put it down for half an hour. What could possibly happen? And like you,
yeah.
I mean, my emails get read very rarely now because, like you said, they're not as urgent as a WhatsApp or a phone call or what's going on social. But the reason I'm asking the questions, really, but also, I know we're recording this, but on a personal level, is there's so much value I want to share with the world that half the time I don't post it just in case I get a bit of grief off somebody. And I'm already processing what somebody who's not going to comment, because most out of 8,000 people on LinkedIn might think, to the fact that I took Friday afternoon off because I'd overdone it. I'd had too many late nights. I've got this little thing, a little whoop band on me. I don't know if you've ever seen them. Well, they sort of measure your sleep and your recovery rate. You got one.
Yeah.
I'd be at 28% on Friday, like well in the red. And I couldn't concentrate. I was like, right, that's it, I'm done. Left my phone, went for a walk, round, and then I've come back on Monday. I've had the most productive day I've had in weeks today.
There you go. But all these things, I hope you can tune in on Tuesday, because I cover the effects of eating well, drinking well, as in lots of water, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Getting enough sleep and the impact, the negative impact of the social media, FOMO stuff that increases anxiety and stress, particularly if you've been on it at nighttime, because the backlight and various other things, your brain's still ticking, really.
Yeah.
So some of the clients I work with, in terms of other things, but social media seems to be part of it in terms of managing the monster, they've done amazing work in terms of changing it. But the good news is, when you're asking me about the Facebook stuff and those sorts of things, I was always told years ago that your Twitter is, if you're walking down the corridor one way, I'm walking down the corridor other way, it's a quick. This was like when it was 140 characters, now it's 280. But it's like, hey, Rob, you know that thing I was telling you about? Yeah, I'm going to send some stuff to you. It's like quick little things, quick little interactions. You kind of attach a link, but it's bite-sized stuff. But you can put in what you want there. I'm not the one to say you should post this. And if you're posting it for personal reasons, there'll be a strategy for that. If you're mixing it in with a personal brand, as in, so it's very much related to a business, but it's you behind the business, there's that. And then you've got the business brand itself, which might be a different Twitter handle altogether. But the conversation on, so that's the conversation there, that's how I was told. And it's changed over time because it got a bit longer. But Facebook was more, treat it as though it's having a chat with your mates in the pub. And the LinkedIn originally was, think about it more like when you walk into a physical networking event and the types of conversations you might have and etiquette you might have and all this. However, what I've noticed over the last two and a half years, I don't know who's rounded up the LinkedIn police, but they've been rounded up and they've been moved on.
I know, aren't they?
They've been moved on. So now, if you look at a lot of the posts, particularly in lockdown, they've reflected a more Facebook-esque quality to them, which I think is a good thing myself, because that's how I like to communicate. Now, why it's a good thing is because I think people with the lockdown and various other things wanted to feel that freedom to be able to say what they wanted to, but not just on the Facebook platform, on their professional network platform. So if they were having a bad day, they wanted to be able to share that in a positive light. But talk from the heart without thinking there's LinkedIn police going to round you up. So when you were saying about that half a day, things like that would make great posts. Things like being, now I've seen people with babies in prams, babies on the shoulder, all sorts of things in the last year and a bit on LinkedIn, actual videos. And there's still a message. It's not about this is the best baby powder or baby milk. It's something about work-life balance. It's something like their tenacity to carry on going, but also, you know, they're spending enough quality time with the baby and being a father or a mother and whatever. And then there's this whole thing which you could say is more around camaraderie. So if you're in sales in some capacity and it's not gone well for a week or so and it's Friday and might just hold your hands up and say, I'll tell you what, this week has been absolutely bleep. And, you know, I don't mind admitting that. But listen, if there's one piece of advice I can give you is carry on. I'm going to, sometimes you don't even need to give the advice. You can just say, listen, I'm going to put my head down for the weekend. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to do this, do that. And I'm going to come back fighting on Monday. Well, when I've been reading all the comments, loads and loads of support, loads of people. And I look at the titles, sales director, they're not just business development managers. It's a wide range of people involved in sales trainers and sales gurus even, all commenting for that person to show them a bit of love. Say, listen, we all get them and, you know, it's challenging and da-da-da. If you need me, message me, you know, just for a quick chat. Don't message me for my 21-day masterclass program. It's none of that. It's like, message me just to make you feel that I'm with you. I'm on the same frequency. All sorts of things nowadays. It's like the rules have gone. There's still got to be a point to the story, whether it's a static post, just a picture and some writing, or whether it's a video. And videos have been in cars, people walking. But, you know, there's a guy walking the other day with a thing. You know, he'd done 10,000 steps before like 9 a.m. or something. But it's still linked to what he does, you see.
Yeah.
Partly linked to what he does. So all of them things, there's been people showing pictures of what the kids have been doing, either during lockdown or at school, how proud it's made them. And when we've talked earlier on in lockdown about all those lots sticking together and businesses won or whatever, well, what better opportunity is there when somebody's putting a post out from the heart and we can't engage with it? I mean, if you don't want to say anything, leave it. You don't even have to like it. That's my opinion. You know, if you want to engage with it, you can engage with it in several ways. I think my least engagement for me is like somebody liking something, then they can like it and commenting on it, and then you can like, comment, and you can share and tag somebody in or something. So there's different levels. And, you know, I don't have time sometimes because of the way I do things to go through reams and reams of, you know, just keep scrolling and doing for everyone. So I'll go on, look at a few things, see some of the people that I normally follow and put my own stuff up, comment on that. And that is all about forming those online relationships, building that rapport to go further. And because of that, for the first time in a long time, I started to get referrals from people that I don't know that well. Like I've only been connecting with them for 6-7 months, but during lockdown, we've just got to know each other really well. Same as... I've started to get people who have connected with me. So, you know, when I said this window of about a year, these are like, never known them before. They've connected with me, sent me a message to say, how you doing? We've ended up chatting. That's led to a sale. Again, organically. So whether somebody's told them about me and then they've connected or whatever, you know, majority of the times it is that when I've asked them, because they said, yeah, I was talking to somebody and I thought I'd connect with you, or I've seen your profile. So maybe they're connected to somebody else and they've seen my stuff as a second, you see.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, I'm now bumping into people, obviously remotely at the moment. I'm bumping into people that I've probably been connected with for years and I kind of half know them.
Exactly.
And that's a very bizarre thing that, if they were just posting, you know, let's say my background in the motor trade, if I was just posting deal of the days and advice on tax for cars and stuff like that, there's not really that much people want to talk to me about. But if you just start being you, and obviously, you know, in that personal development space that you're in and offering that value out, people, when you do get to see it, they half know you, don't they?
Absolutely.
And it's bizarre.
If I was to meet you face to face, you know, we'd naturally say, you know, how's it going besides all the other stuff, but how's your dad? Some of the people from the group that have been on Friday mornings, some of the things, you know, you always give a stat or whatever. So I'll go, you know, what have you got for us today, Rob? What's some stat and research you've been doing? There's tons of us to talk about before I even, not that I'm going to do it, but, you know, if I was a landscape gardener, before I go, well, do you need your garden sorting for summer? It probably won't even come into it, because we'll probably have much more of a banter talking about those sorts of things, i.e. based on what we were talking about last time. You know, and I've got a really, really good memory for things like that as well. Important stuff, I'll probably forget. You know, but other things, like, you know, if you mentioned to me, we were in Crete 3 years ago, we did this and we did that, you know, it'll just stick in my mind. And it's really weird. And that's why I kind of encourage people, when they do their 60 seconds, put things like that in. little anecdotes, little stories, and little this, that, and the other. Because yes, people are paying attention, but if you're sat in a room or online with 25 people, 30 people, even half that number, the way the mind works, it's not going to retain everything unless you write it all down.
I make notes on networking events, and so I think sometimes it looks like I'm doing something else, but I'll
no,
sit
no,
there.
No, I can tell you're making notes.
And it's just to be able to, I try, unless it gets a bit weird and someone hasn't responded like for the last 3 weeks, where you're like, oh, nice to hear about this. But try to go, you know, Latif, you mentioned you got that new contract, or just a little LinkedIn message, and just try and elevate yourself, you know, stand out from the crowd, isn't it? Not kind of, hi, Latif, nice, you got a new contract. Do you want to buy this from me? Like, leave, but that'll come eventually. And I think, you know, we've got, you know, people in our team who are now starting to go either join online networking events or potentially want to go to face-to-face networking events. And it's very hard when you've never done that before to think, I'm paying for this, but where's the business? Is to always think you might, this person that I'm talking to may become a customer in 12 months, but it may take them that long just to consider me to be a customer.
The guy
never mind,
about,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, the guy was talking about, Neil Simpson, he was talking about know, like, and trust and buy, like, years ago.
Yeah.
He did a number of sessions for, like, I don't know how many weeks we were there, 6 weeks or possibly longer. I can't remember. Like, two hours every Wednesday or every so often, and me and about 25 people used to turn up every Wednesday and glean loads of knowledge from this guy. Highly recommended you follow him, Neil Simpson.
Right, jot it in now. Thank you.
Digital creative coach based out of Manchester, but works all over. But I remember he did a number of talks, you know, at different times. But one of the talks he started off talking about in terms of building a rapport, he would say, you wouldn't get married on the first date. And other people have gone on to use that now and put it in their own presentation. But he's the one that kicked it off for me, because he put down is, if you're seeing somebody, social occasion, whatever, you're not going to go, hey, you're all right, yeah. Rob, will you marry me? It's just not going to happen, right? So think about all the relationships we've built up over time. There's a whole process to it. You know, even with nonverbal communication, there's a glance. The glance might turn into not a stare, but a deeper look. Then it might be a smile. Then it might be an approach of physically, you know, talking to somebody or getting an introduction. And then there's a conversation. And there's a lot more steps before that person goes on even the first date.
Yeah, and absolutely. And also, not everyone's going to be your guy or girl, are they?
Yeah.
You know, you might want to be friends with someone who don't want to be friends with you. Yeah. Or, you know, especially on a networking event, if there's 20 new people, you should, in my opinion, jot them all down and try to connect on probably LinkedIn, but in some way be able to connect with them without the sales pitch. But you know what? Some of them don't accept your request or want a one-to-one. And you just kind of got to go with that and go, well, actually, if out of 20, I've picked up 10 new contacts for an hour online Zoom call, that's bloody brilliant, isn't it?
Well, it's them, you know, them 10. And then sometimes what happens is when them 10 go on to either networks with the other ones that haven't connected, you know, they'll probably sing your praises. And sometimes what I've noticed is, imagine there's 15 people on a networking event with me, you, 15 others yesterday or something. And I try to connect with all of them. Unless just only half of them connect. But if I end up having a couple of one-to-ones with a few of them, they go back and tell all the others, but the next time they're on a group session, I had a really good one-to-one with Rob and his sound. And, oh, I didn't know, you know, he went to this school and there. And when they're talking, they're not talking all about, well, you know, he does this and he does that. It's more about the other stuff. They think, oh, he's, you know, this guy's got a life and he's interesting. And then I see that, I don't keep a record of it, but I kind of got knowing my head. I started getting, like, Joe Bloggs has accepted your request. And I thought, I sent that to him, but they didn't accept
it. 2 months ago,
Yeah. You know what I mean? But, whatever, doesn't bother me that. I just think to myself, when they're ready, you know, it's one of them. It's called social networking, isn't it? So
for a reason.
They've got that choice. But Neil was always big into that, and he's still into that, and he does sessions for people. But it's I remember once I was in this bar type restaurant, and there was a networking being held there by this lady. She used to do it once a month. End up talking to these guys. One of them I knew, two business partners, but I never met the other business partner before. So anyway, chatting to one of them, he said, oh, that business partner, And we ended up talking for about an hour. But everybody else seemed to be going, all right, see you later, see you later, see you later. It was an evening, well, I think it started at 5:30, so mooching around. But when I got talking to this chap in particular, it must have been towards the end, and I walked out of there at least an hour before, you know, it was everybody saying goodbye. And we ended up talking about cars, go-karting. We ended up talking about he likes a good drink, what kind of drinks he likes, and he does his own brewery stuff. And he'd tell it all of that. And right at the end, I think he said, I think I said to him, have you got a card? That's the only time I asked him. He said, no, I've got a card on me. He said, just give me a ring. Get the number off Joe Bloggs here. I said, yeah, we'll do. So I got the number off Joe Bloggs. I said, LinkedIn. He goes, yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I hardly use it. I said, he does all that. He said, I'm in the background looking at all the finances and growing the business. Anyway, what that led to was a really decent contract. Really decent contract. And I didn't feel the need, using my intuition, to try to keep steering the conversation away from whatever he was talking about back to what I do or how I can help them and present the benefits and the outputs. I thought, if he wants us to chat about whatever, I can tell he likes his drink because, you know, he's going back to
more. Pints.
He's going back. Are you sure you don't want one? I said, no, I'm still on this coke. But anyway, you know, but I really enjoyed his company. And I think when you're genuine like that, they know. And, you know, anybody watching sort of knows that the rapport has been built there. So people are less likely to butt in either. But yeah, really good session. And I've had quite a few of them because I think to myself, the semantics of it all. So I'm going networking, but then also I'm going out to meet new people. I'm going out to learn about other people. You know, my attitude is different. Yes, of course. Who doesn't want to get some potential contacts that then become clients? But it's not going to happen just on that night. You know, otherwise I'd be carrying one of them machines, wouldn't I? The old-fashioned card machines. Go, oh, yeah, put your card in here. Whoop, whoop. There's your little receipt.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that. We just be ourselves. And then what I love doing, this is, again, the ninja stuff. If you're chatting and you're, I don't know, accountancy, I'll go, have you met Michelle over there? She's a really good accountant. She does this person's accounts and this person's account. Do you want to introduce you to her? Now, again, if you turn around and go, I'll leave it. If you said, yeah, I don't mind. So it depends where everybody is. Either I'll ask Michelle to come over. I'll go, come on, I'll take you over now. And then one of the skills I've really learned to be able to do is say, hi, Michelle, this is Rob. And then really go to town on what you do. And a lot of people have said, oh, you could be my business development manager. That's a better 60 seconds than I usually do. And then I'll turn around and say, Rob, meet Michelle. She does this, that, and the other. And sometimes it works for me with the memory. If I don't know them that well, I'll just be honest. I'll say, well, Michelle, I know you do accounts. Really sorry, I'm not going to try to explain the ins and outs of what you do and get it wrong. But why don't we just say hello? And then what I might do is I'll just see how the energy is. And if I feel, you know, they're getting on all right, I might just go, I'll be back in a minute. I'll just shoot off and leave them to it. And then come back later on. And sometimes if I come back, I might bring somebody else. And that's where the kind of nickname came from, because one minute he was here and next minute he's gone and then he's back again. So I just feel overall, Rob, that online or offline, there's a lot to be said about A, being yourself, having a confidence, which takes a little bit of time to share what you want to say, knowing that, I mean, you can always ask somebody and go, look, I'm thinking of saying this, on what do you reckon? You know, does that sound interesting? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you'd be better off just putting it down, as long as you're not swearing, it's, you know, politically correct and all this sort of stuff, which I know you're not going to do any of those mistakes, but If you reread or look at your video before you actually do it and think, this is going to help somebody, this, even if it's a little update. And then after that, it's just entirely up to you when you want to get onto your notifications, when people comment and all the rest of it. But the more you do it, more and more people will align towards you who've got similar values, similar interests. Is that the guy with glasses on? Is whatever. You know, you get a brand name. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely right. I mean, the thing about my Whoop band, you know, I was worried about. I thought maybe people think I've started selling Whoop bands and I'm trying to promote it. And actually, it's just a piece of kit that told me I was knackered, and that was one little thing that got in my head. The week before, I was doing a daily video and got really good feedback. It just depends on where on your mood. Against, I guess it's about how you feel within yourself, not about where you are in the social networks, isn't it? But before we go, I want to give you a shout out for Shout.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're heavily involved in that, which is obviously testament to what you brought to their party. So just give us a bit of an overview of Shout and maybe popping in We'll pop an invite in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So Shout Network has been going nearly 12 years, I think, now. Family-owned business. Started off in Preston, Lancashire, and then grew from there to cover all of central Lancashire, all the way up to Fylde Coast. And then we next lot was all around East Lancashire, all the way up to North Yorkshire, Skipton. And then the next groups we formed after that was Greater Manchester and Merseyside. Two groups in Merseyside, one in Southport, one in Liverpool City Centre. Two parts of the business. One is business networking. Groups normally run, at the moment during lockdown, they run at 10 a.m., 9:30 a.m. and what's the other one? Lunchtime, which is noon. And then after lockdown, the 10 a.m. will go back to 8 a.m. But yeah, it's a single sector organization, which means you can only have one accountant, one solicitor, whatever, at only one group. However, one of the huge benefits and its USPs is that if I was a solicitor at, say, the Berry Group, that's my group. No other solicitors can come and visit. No other solicitors can come and take that seat or buy it as long as I've got it. Now, what it allows me, the flexibility to travel around, especially while we're online, to any other group that doesn't have a solicitor at no extra cost. So it's a huge benefit that, because some places you've got to pay extra and blah, blah, blah. If I had two or three members of staff, maybe one or two members of staff, then if I wanted to cover, say, Greater Manchester with my legal expertise, I might say, well, I've got Joe Bloggs working for me. Any chance they can cover our business, but in East Lancashire? So I can spread my business a little bit further, again, at no extra cost. On the 1st of July, Thursday, 1st of July, we have our Shout Network joint meeting from 8 a.m. till noon. What this is in order to get around the fact that it's a single sector and I might not be able to go to your group because you're the other solicitor, how am I going to meet all the other contacts? So normally before lockdown, we would have about six of these a year. So on the 1st of July, it's going to be our first, and we're dead excited about this, face-to-face since lockdown, and it's going to be in Leyland. There's a small investment. It's only something like £10 plus VAT. You'll, depending on numbers, usually we would get up to 100 people in there, and Shout members, they will have little stands, not many, 20 odd people, 25 people. And then you've got the opportunity to network, freestyle with as many people as you want in your little investment. Breakfast is included as well. There's a particular hashtag we use as well that will give you more notoriety and more reach with people in the room and people out the room. If anybody's interested, you can email me, contact me at Latif, L-A-T-E-E-F at shoutnetwork.co.uk, or Rob, if you drop the links in for Shout Network, the website, or you can just drop that in. And if anybody wants to connect with me online with regards to the stuff I do as a business coach and a confidence coach, it's at Latif Badat. It's just my name, first name, surname. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, whatever you want, and find a little bit more. There is a website. It's just www.alb, that's Alpha Lima Brava Coaching.co.uk. And I'm giving lots of talks for an organization called Hashtag Events right the way through the year, Hashtag Events, 20, 30 minute talks. Like I said, I'm doing one on Tuesday, which is about the four more thing on Thursday, which is the social media and marketing online show for Great Britain. The one on Tuesday is for Northern Ireland. I'll be talking about confidence and resilience. So I tend to talk about those sorts of things when I give those sorts of talks, a lot of the more health, well-being, mindset, mood, motivation, getting your mojo back, those sorts of things. So
exactly what I needed on Friday, eh? I just needed an early night, so I'm a word with myself.
What I will do is, anybody who watches your podcast, anybody from your connections within the group that you have on Friday, any of your network from within UW, if anybody just wants an informal chat, then just message me. I mean, what I've tried to do at early part of lockdown for 3 months, what I did was I kept on posting on all my networks saying, if anybody's out there and just needs a quick chat about anything, doesn't have to be anything specific, just want a quick chat. I don't want anything, no charge. You're not going to get put in some sort of machine that churns out things. It's just a case of, I'm here 10, 15 minutes, half an hour if you want. You know, sometimes it was a bit longer. I did that for as long as I could in that first 3 months until it started getting a bit too much. And then I had, equally, because I was doing more stuff online, I could access more people, because before lockdown, I only stayed in the Northwest. That's as far as I wanted to travel. Where lockdown happened, I could be Birmingham, London, Portugal, Spain, So it's really opened things up. So hence I got busier. So I did it for as long as I could. And then I did it more for not advertising it. It was mainly like, if I came across people, people contacted me and said, I've got somebody. And it's actually just do half an hour, 40 minutes, quick one, pick them up a bit. Yeah, of course I can.
Fantastic. Right, Latif, we were, our half hour chat's got to 50 minutes.
Yeah, best ones.
But no, it's been awesome, Matt. Thank you, mate. I know we've covered off there. You know, you've grown your coaching business from scratch.
Yeah.
Absolutely from scratch. You're obviously heavily into personal development. We all say that you can never out-earn what you learn or something similar to that. I know you lead from the front because I know that you're in there helping businesses develop whilst you're developing your own business. You're a family man. You've got life balance. And obviously, you've got your handle on social media. And it's really interesting to hear that. But you're a ninja at networking, you know, and that hence the ninja thing. And I just, you know, anyone who's listening, have a connection through to Latif on the social media or indeed contact him. We're both members of the Shout Network. Come and say hello. And obviously I've got my lockdown, however long that continues for, Friday morning for people working from home or just want a bit of a place to be on a Friday morning for a bit of chat and some good professional connections. So, right, though, that's the end of today's session then, Latif.
One of my favourite TV detectives is Columbo. So in true Columbo style, can I just say just one more thing?
One more thing.
When I mentioned about Shout Network, you got the whole element of business networking. The second part of the business is business exhibitions. So we run three exhibitions normally. We have one that covers Lancashire Business Expo in April. We have Manchester, usually in May. And we have Merseyside in October. So with COVID, everything's going to be upside down. But we're looking to have Lancashire run sometime in September and maybe combine Manchester and Liverpool or Merseyside later on in the year. And instead of calling them names, we'll probably just have it as the Northwest Expo. So if anybody's thinking of growing the business through the power of exhibitions, you can contact me. I can put you in contact with the right person in the team who's called Jeff. And it really is good. Usually for the Lancashire Business Expo, it's 2,000 people delegates through the day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's about 130 odd exhibitors, and that follows suit for all the other exhibitions. I can't guarantee exactly what's going to happen with COVID and.
But something's going on. Something face to face. I'm sure that whatever numbers you are agreed or allowed, you'll have to cap it, won't you? Because people are chomping at the bit to go meet people, aren't they? Which is
so shout networking and shout exhibitions. They've got separate websites and there's videos on YouTube and all sorts of things. So check.
I'll make sure it all goes in the right places for us, Latif.
Cheers, fella. Nice speaking with you, and thanks for the opportunity today. I wish everybody a great day wherever you are.
No worries. Thanks for your time, pal. Thank you.
Welcome.